I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Issues around anxiety are fueling sick days and a worklessness crisis over in the UK. They're urging people to go to therapy. But here at home, are we any better at asking for help? Is it time we tried to get over any stigma around asking and seeking help? Henry Rakeen has been finding out more. Hello, Henry.
Fionnuala, people of a certain age, maybe my age and older, they are not really asking for help. And maybe they feel a bit let down, or maybe they feel down in general. And even myself, I remember some years ago going for couples therapy, and I wasn't married. I was just now my ex-girlfriend, and it helped. And the actual therapist, they're not supposed to give advice, they're supposed to listen. But this particular one, she did tell us to break up. So we did break up, but okay. It was helpful. It was actually really quite, refreshing is the wrong word, but quite, you just felt this massive weight being lifted when you sat down with that person. And I suppose today we're asking exactly that. Is there still stigma around it, asking for help? And if you ask me, I think yes. I think many older people, they're still struggling in relationships. They have maybe a trauma from years ago, and that's resurfaced, and they're not dealing with it. Here are older people. How do they deal with the problem?
Yeah, I shared it with my family, though.
That's how you
That's the way I dealt with it.
And men your age, you're in your 50s, I think?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Is your therapy going for a pint with friends?
Yeah, I'm a non-drinker, so that wouldn't be. But I do go out with my friends, and we do chat about things, but not as much. I don't think men chat about personal things as much. Or if they start off a chat, it closes down pretty quickly. But personally, it's just family. And
you talk it through?
Yes.
What's your experience?
It's good to talk to somebody you don't know. Because to talk to friends about your problems, they're going to talk to somebody else about so-and-so is not feeling well. She's feeling depressed or whatever. You don't want to admit that you are depressed.
You don't want to tell a friend or a family member.
You
want to keep it private.
You want to keep the best side out always.
You've been to therapy. You went a couple of years ago. For you, it was extremely helpful.
It was extremely helpful to talk to somebody. You're getting it out of your system, the feelings you feel, which may not be good feelings. You're getting them out of your system.
And I know it's a personal question. How come you went to therapy?
I was feeling very down, lonely.
Did you lose someone?
No, I didn't. But I had retired. My son had left home. I'm married, like my husband is a great man, a very kind person, but you won't talk to them about your feelings, you know? Because
so
they
you
could
were
be feeling the same way.
Yes.
You know?
And you were going through a different stage in your life, a
different
new beginning.
Different stage in my life. That's exactly what it was. But thankfully, you have to keep busy. Anyone that's not feeling well, you have to get involved in volunteer work and all of that, which I'm doing.
And is there a stigma attached to it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Why?
There is. Like, you're not going to say to people, even listening to Michella O'Donnell, who said the joy had gone out of her life. That's the way a lot of people feel, but they're not going to admit it.
And that's Daniel O'Donnell's wife.
Yeah.
It is interesting to hear the kind of through line with all those people, even though they were maybe dealing with different things. You know, it was that they kind of wanted to go to speak to someone, because obviously nowadays, I think therapists would never tell you to break up with someone necessarily. They're there to kind of help you
100%.
Come to conclusion on your own. And that seems to be the consensus with all these people. They just needed or wanted a sounding board, kind of, or dealing with these feelings, and didn't really have a place to put them beyond family and friends, or didn't necessarily want to bring them to family and friends.
Absolutely. And I think you're right there. Therapy is best when it's with a stranger or someone that's not connected to your life in any way. And you're right. It's very unusual for therapists to actually give an opinion. They're there to listen. And young people, we get to speak to young people and we ask them, how did therapy help you?
It did help me in a positive way. But I do think you've got to find the right match for you.
So you found the right therapist who helped you get through what you needed to get through?
Yeah. I found it difficult at first because I went with someone that wasn't quite for me. And then eventually, after searching more, I found that going with a female therapist was better.
How come you went to see her?
Mental health, like bad mental health, anxiety.
And lots of young people have anxiety, and it helped you?
It did. It got me away from taking many medications and things like that, which definitely helped me.
So you feel better for it. And what would you say to others? Would you say go and get therapy, go and ask for help?
Yes, definitely ask for help, I think.
And is there a stigma still attached to admitting, yes, I have had therapy, or have we passed that?
I think we're past that now. I think everyone's welcome to have therapy. If you need help, you need help. I'll just ask for it.
I'm going to therapy at the moment, yeah.
And how does it help you?
Well, I've just started going to a new one recently. Before, I was going to another one, but that ended. But I just go for my trauma and childhood trauma and stuff that I've really recently started with this. But it's good to just talk about stuff. And
so you had childhood trauma?
Yeah.
And it's with you all the time?
Yeah, it's always in the back of your head. I think even if you try to forget about it, it's always kind of affects you. And I find it once you get you into life, it kind of affects you more of your relationships and the way you deal with people and your trust and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you had a very hard upbringing.
Yeah, I was taken into care as well, so it wasn't easy. I think it just depends on the individual if they feel like it will help them. All they can do is give it a try and see if it will help, you know.
But for you it's helped?
Yeah, it's definitely helping, you know. It definitely helps to talk about stuff and, you know, work on myself and just get myself worked back, you know.
Henry, I feel like we blame a lot of things on being Irish, but I do wonder, because I know we're talking about specifically this issue in the UK, but I mean, Irish people, they're not inclined to ask for help. They're not inclined to speak about their feelings. Is that it as well? Were you getting a sense of that as well from speaking to people?
Yeah, I mean, we do clam up. I know that in Britain, they call it the stiff upper lip. There's no real Irish comparison, but Irish people, we put our issues in a sort of box and we close that box and we think it will just go away.
Yeah.
But it won't. It will explode at some point.
Yeah.
I have worked with this guy before, a sports psychologist, a guy called Ender McNulty from McNulty Performance. And he's worked with some of the biggest sporting stars and biggest Irish rugby teams going, and also a former GA All-Star. And believe it or not, he helped me lose 5 stone. I admit, I know this is radio, you can't see me. I probably put the 5 stone back on, but he did help me lose 5 stone.
My name is Ender McNulty, CEO of McNulty Performance.
And we've worked together over the years and you've helped me. I suppose you could say you have given me a form of therapy. Should people seek therapy?
Yes, they definitely should seek therapy. If they're struggling, if they've got massive anxiety, if they're depressed, if they feel that mentally, emotionally, they're hugely suffering and struggling, they should 100% seek therapy.
Is there still a stigma around therapy?
I think the issue now, Henry, isn't about stigma. I think if you look at what's going on in County Kerry at the moment in terms of mental health services, now the issue is the quality of access to mental health services, the quality of brilliant people, maybe leadership, how we manage people with mental health issues. I think that's now a bigger problem.
And how does what you do, how does it help people?
How we help people? We try to help people actually before they get mental health issues. We're a proactive mental health and wellbeing company. So how do we make a difference? First of all, getting people to have practical plans. Get people off the couch and into action. We feel very strongly that it's not about talking, although talking helps. Get into action. Get off the couch and get into action. So how we help organisations is have a proper strategy, have a proper plan, have great leadership, have a culture in which we look after people's mental health and overall wellbeing.
I feel better already just chatting to you.
Thank you very much, Henry.
It's interesting, I think, because when he's talking about strategy there and business implementing strategy and kind of preparing for it and having, you know, having the framework kind of there and ready to be enacted upon. I just know for myself, I obviously work for myself now, so I am the boss. So if I am calling in sick because I don't feel great, even in my own experiences in therapy, I've been talking about it with my therapist and they've kind of positioned as, you are your boss. So are you going to be a nice boss or are you going to be a horrible boss to yourself?
Yeah.
But I'm even previously when I was working for a company, and I remember I did take sick days off when I was kind of feeling overwhelmed and anxious and stuff like that. But I felt like I could only, you know, sometimes anxiety isn't solved in one day, and the feelings kind of carry on. I remember feeling such a sense of guilt after the first day that I felt like I couldn't carry it on, because there would be this, again, speaking to the stigma, or people would be in the office thinking, oh, she's pulling a sickie, she's not really sick, when it's like, I am sick, but maybe not in a way that you could feasibly see.
You haven't got a bad cold.
You know, exactly, yeah.
You have anxiety, or you're feeling down, or you just can't face everyone in the office.
Yeah.
And working for yourself, it must be tough, you know, for all those people who do, because they're having these discussions with themselves where their boss inside their brain is telling them, you go to work. And then the other person in their brain is saying, no, you stay in bed.
You're just like shouting at yourself in the mirror, like point of the finger. It's the Spider-Man meme where it's like, you need to take a day off. And it's like, no, because if we don't, we won't earn the money, which is the other factor of it as well. And then there's probably a financial anxiety. Like it's so layered, I think.
It's very hard. And it's great that we're talking about it. And I got to meet a guy who had a stroke. Here is Tom Higgins, and he tells us his story.
Yes, I actually had a stroke in 2008, so I have an acquired brain injury. When I had the stroke, I didn't know what was going on, so I ended up going to a psychiatrist.
And it helped you?
It helped me, yeah. I still didn't know what was going on because of the brain injury, but I ended up then going to a place called Headway Ireland, and that's for acquired brain injury, and they're fantastic help. Very hard to explain, but 25% of people that get strokes get the damage in the brain. They call it the silent stroke because I look very healthy, but there's a lot going on, and not every disability is a visibility, but I love getting up, getting going, and keeping now.
And your age group, I mean, you mentioned that the fact that the stroke was a silent stroke.
Yeah.
It's helped you. How do we get people in your age group? You're in your late 50s?
I'm actually 63.
Would you look great for 63? Your age group, perhaps, they might need to see someone. They might be having trouble in their marriage.
Yeah.
They might be separated. They might be deeply unhappy. Childhood trauma.
Yeah.
But they won't seek therapy. They won't talk about it. They bottle it up inside.
Yeah.
How do we get them to talk?
Well, it's very hard to even do that. I mean, like, I personally, like, you have to try. You have to know yourself anyway first, and then go for therapy if you want. You have to, you know, get out, meet people, be nice to people, be nice to every race, every religion, every colour. Wake up in the morning with a positive attitude. Everyone gets down. Everyone has issues and problems. At some stage, everyone has a problem. Every single person has an issue and a problem.
There's a really wide age range there. Like, it never really goes away, I think, those feelings of anxiety. And I suppose it speaks to illustrate that we all suffer at different points of our lives with different things. I had a big response to this on text, as you can imagine. Hi, I'm in my 30s, recently diagnosed with a chronic disease. I'm struggling most days, and even to write this short message has been difficult. This is a nice piece of radio to listen to, so thanks. I think that's, even to for that person to be sitting at home, essentially kind of writing into the ether. I know they're not. I'm not the ether, because I'm here and I've just read it. And obviously there's going to be tens of thousands of people listening to that message. But to even hear that they're kind of struggling to verbalise it in a way that it's, you know, there's not someone on the other end tangibly. It's really interesting. And I hope you're doing okay. Another text. I suffer from bipolar now that I'm in my late 60s. I am tired of the constant battle to keep myself sane. And keeping this seeker for most people is draining. Another text. I've been to a few therapists over the years. My insurance paid for an over-the-phone short-term therapist, which was useful. By listening to Carl Jung videos, I've been able to go deeper and really learn about the root causes of some of my issues from childhood. Another texter, and offering a different perspective here. To be honest, and working as a civil servant, I feel our bosses need to do a course on staff mental health and how to actually treat their staff and how they talk to their staff. Because to be honest, my boss gives me the biggest mental health problems and anxiety. One minute she's okay and the next she's down, and they need to start being approachable, which I think kind of speaks to what we were talking about earlier. I mean, if you're already anxious and then you're faced with the prospect of going into work, but then what happens if work is also making you
anxious?
Is the root cause of why you're anxious?
It's, or if your boss has anxiety and then you get that anxiety from them and everyone else.
It's such a cycle.
Gets quite stressed. And it is hard. And I think we all need to just stop and, you know, take a breather.
Yeah.
And perhaps be far more open about it and just chat about it and say how we feel and say, I'm not having a great day today.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, as we said, there was with this person who texted in about the over-the-phone short-term therapist, there are a lot of different options available now, even more so than by comparison to like 10 years ago. We're very, very lucky in terms of what we can offer. Someone else said here, people usually end up in therapy because someone in their life will not go to therapy, which I think is a very interesting perspective and possibly very true for a lot of people. On the subject of therapists then, what are therapists saying about all this? Did you speak to a therapist?
I did. I got to speak to Dr. Karen Ward, a member of the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. She has been involved in 28 years when it comes to this. She's a supervisor. And she also recommends the IACP. That's the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. And they are the IACP.ie. And you can find any accredited therapist anywhere in Ireland on that website. And she joins us now from West Cork.
It is a very wonderful and effective way of empowering people to overcome whatever issue might be in their lives. We provide a safe and a confidential space. And one of the most important aspects is simply being there to listen. We're neutral. We don't know the person who's come to therapy. We don't know their families. So we can offer an element, a modicum of being there in a way that maybe no other person can be. The listening ear, the safe space. We ask questions, bringing perhaps a new perspective to what's going on in somebody's lives. And they have the opportunity to ask questions. Oh, I never thought of that. Or how could I? Maybe I could do this. To find a support system that can be out there for them, that maybe they're so mired in the depression or the anxiety or whatever's going on that they cannot see is already there. We have a whole range of wonderful techniques that we can offer each client. And of course, what's really important is the client chooses, oh, I'll try that breathing technique. Oh, that sounds really good. That would work for my panic attacks, or that would work for my depression. And of course, it's what happens in between the sessions is really important, because it's all about client empowerment. The IACP.ie website is a mine, a treasure trove of information. And we recommend people go on that, have a look, and then see who's in their area. Go to the member, find somebody who is in the county or in the locality, and then perhaps ring and have an initial conversation before booking one therapy session to see if this is what you need. We're the listening ear. We're out there for you. And it's amazing how many people go to counselling and psychotherapy, and it's a very private issue. They mightn't talk about it. But I have found over 28 years I've been in practice that it is a wonderful way to give you the tools to move forward in your life. If you're at that crossroads and you or your people in your family close to you don't know where to go from here, we are that listening ear.
Henry, I might get you to repeat that website that Dr. Karen Ward had mentioned there, just because I think it's also, it's really important that whoever you're seeing obviously is accredited, and that website has the list of everyone nationwide.
Yeah, so it's the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, and it's the IACP.ie. That's the IACP.ie. And many people I met today didn't want to chat on the radio, and maybe because there's like over 100,000 people listening and they wanted to keep it private. But there's loads of people out there quietly suffering, loads of people with anxiety and perhaps depression, and they're just not being open about it. And I suppose we're saying today, let's have that chat.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting to go back to what Dr. Ward was saying as well, about that it's not necessarily just what's happening in the immediacy of the session, it's kind of about the in-betweens. Because I know, again, even for myself, there are some days where, you know, you might not feel up for therapy in the sense that you kind of feel like everything's fine or everything's leveled out, or you're not having a particularly stressful week, or you might not think that there's anything kind of niggling away at the back of your brain. And you kind of go, oh, and obviously there's a cost involved and there's time and everything like that. And it's in your calendar and it's kind of eating away at you. But then when you do go, you might end up talking about something that you didn't realise was kind of playing on your mind, was subconscious. I think it's so important to keep those appointments because for that reason I just said, because it's those in-between moments and kind of what leaves you from the immediate session that you can kind of take with you then and apply in your everyday life, whether it's work, whether it's family. Yeah. It's...
No, absolutely. And on that, I mean, when you do go to therapy, when you do see a counsellor or someone and you get rid of all those feelings, it can feel absolutely exhausting. But afterwards, you can feel much better.
Absolutely. Just wanted to mention this as well, as a texter has mentioned. TurnToMe.ie provides 6 free online counselling sessions to all adults living in Ireland. I've used the service and they are brilliant. I have also used the service. I used it during COVID, as I can only imagine, like, that time for anxiety and for people, I can only imagine. TurnToMe.ie for anyone that's listening. And I know someone that you'd spoken to earlier in the Port Henry had mentioned Imogen O'Donnell, who's obviously spoken very bravely about everything that she's gone through. One texter, you could argue maybe a little bit callously, has said, if you're not happy and married to Daniel O'Donnell, then there's no hope for the rest of us. But I do suppose it also shows that even with success, even when you're busy, even with money, things get to all of us, really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just because you're successful and rich doesn't mean that you're happy. You can still have anxiety. Anyone can feel down, anybody in any walk of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Henry. Henry McKean on Getting Therapy. If you feel anxiety or down, talk to someone. Talk to me. Not if I'm eating, though, please.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.